going to do long form, I would assume that would help them be able to gain trust in me.
Yes.
What type of videos do you think I would do?
I would recommend a very similar strategy to, honestly, like someone like Alex Hormozi.
Alex Hormozi.
Where in his shorts, it's like scripted, straight to the point advice. But then on the long forms, they're like an hour long. They're not even edited. It's just him giving just insane amounts of value. The goal is to give so much value that people are asking you to sell them a service. You're not even selling to them. They're asking you to give them the service. Mm. Just give as much value as possible. Literally exactly how we're doing right now.
Hello, you guys. Welcome to the Shane So podcast. Today, I have a very, very special treat. A young girl, she's got over almost 7 million subscribers on YouTube in just a short amount of time. And the crazy thing is that she's only 19 years old. I'm here to learn a lot. I just want to say thank you, Jenny Hoyos.
Yes, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Thanks for being here. So tell us, a little bit about yourself. Like, you were born and raised here in Florida?
Yeah, so I was born and raised here in South Florida. Yeah.
Okay. And then what got you into YouTube?
Yeah, so I've always loved entertainment. I started doing like musicals when I was like 8 years old. So I loved performing arts. And I discovered YouTube a little bit after that. So I started my first channel when I was around 8 or 9.
And Eight or nine?
Yeah. And I did daily vlogs on YouTube. And I just made videos my entire life. And here I am today.
Are those videos you've at 8 or 9 still online?
They are not online.
Okay, so fast forward to today. So you have over almost 7 million, you said 6.7 million subscribers. How does that feel?
I feel the same. It doesn't really feel like anything.
But is it I assume it's a full-time job?
Oh, yes. This is the full-time job.
Okay, so now I want you to talk me through, what was your very first viral video and how did you feel in that moment and what was it about?
Yeah, so my very first super viral video was a video where I did a $3 Chipotle burrito hack. Basically, if you bought a taco for like a dollar, you can like get double meat and double everything for free. And then you get an extra tortilla. You got like a $3 burrito. Mm-hmm. And it was so viral. It got over 10 million views on YouTube. It got 10 million. Instagram got 10 million. On TikTok got 10 million. So like in the span of like 2 weeks, it got 30 million views across all platforms. Chipotle had to take down the hack. It was insane.
So your first viral video, even it affected Chipotle.
Yes, it affected Chipotle.
So how many subscribers did you get from that first viral video?
I would say probably about 100,000. The conversions actually weren't that high, actually.
So whenever you made that video, did you expect it to go viral? Was you shooting, like, did someone teach you how to go viral? Or was you just like, I'm just going to make a cool little hack?
Oh, I knew it was going to go viral. Yeah, I've been studying the art of virality at that time for months, and it was very intentional.
Mm. So I know you have a virality course, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. But like, what got you actually started and say, hey, I'm going to do this? Like, who inspired you? Like, what? Tell us the whole story.
Yeah, again, I mean, I loved performing arts and entertainment ever since I was a little kid. I took a break during quarantine from making videos. And I started focusing a lot on business and entrepreneurship because I wanted to focus on just, you know, making money. But what actually really inspired me to start making videos was I had a feeling that one day I would be very successful, not from making videos, actually. I thought I was going to start a business and make $1 billion business. I'm like, oh, I'm going to document this. I'm going to try drop shipping. I'm going to, you know, try to sell different services. I'm going to document this on YouTube. And then people are going to see how Jenny Hoyos became this billionaire. But as I was documenting, you know, me trying to do this, start a business outside of content creation, I realized I was actually more passionate about creating content than I was about business and finance. So from there, that's actually what kickstarted my channel 3 years ago.
Oh, that's amazing. So you started off talking about finance, got into doing videos. So do you still do like finance videos, or do you go into some type of education or just entertainment completely?
So when I started, I was doing educational, but now it's just entertainment completely.
Oh, wow. So what other people do you kind of like, who have you actually learned from? Has anyone mentored you, or did you do all this education, like learn all the virality pieces online just off YouTube?
I learned it from everywhere and anywhere, honestly. I could probably list 1,000 people because I've watched like just so many people to learn this.
Mm. So do you go to like video conferences or seminars?
Yes. So VidSummit is the best conference, VidSummit? I would say, for learning.
Okay, so I'm new to personal branding. Okay, I was talking to your parents and I said, look, I'm new. I'm usually like the nerdy guy behind the scenes kind of guy. What would be some advice for me to grow, since I'm a business real estate guy? What would be your advice for me to grow?
Yeah, so when building a personal brand, there's two things to mainly consider. And one of them is your avatar and the other is creating a blue ocean strategy. So to start, you want to build a avatar. Think about the specific person you're talking to and try to get specific. Try to identify their pain points. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you're going to create your own blue ocean.
Which is the blue ocean?
Yes. Yeah. So it's a marketing strategy where you basically become so unique that there is no competition. So a red ocean is one where there's a bunch of fishermen trying to get the same fish. But a blue ocean is there's only one fisherman and you got all the fish to yourself. That's what you want to create. You can create that by thinking about who you want to talk to and leveraging yourself as the solution. So if you're a personal trainer, don't go on social media and say, oh, I'm going to help you with a personal training. I'm be your fitness coach. No, because you need to speak to the person that you're going to help. Be specific. I'm helping those who are have just given birth. I'm going to be a personal trainer for you, and position yourself as that person by showing why are you the one that's good? Well, because I gave birth and I ran a marathon right after. Oh my goodness. Wait, yeah, I need to work with you. That's what I think building a personal brand is all about. Being actually niching down and talking to a specific avatar and leverage and making yourself known as the solution.
All right, so avatar and blue ocean. So what are some of the biggest mistakes that you see people make in personal branding or doing any type of social media, not just YouTube and everything? I assume you've seen them all.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I've seen them all. But the biggest mistake is selfish content. People talk about themselves first and think people care about them. But the truth is no one actually cares about the person they are watching. You need to always give value to that person.
Oh, that's great. So whenever you do your videos, what was the thing, whenever you're sitting down, and I guess your parents are saying you make your own scripts and everything before you make a video. So what are some of the points that you made? So number one would be value, but what are some other points that you write down?
I think when you really understand your avatar, you just know what is their wants, needs, desires. That's what you want to tap into. Now, when it comes to building your personal brand and building a loyal community, you build a loyal community when people see themselves in you. So that's why it's important to understand your avatar.
Mm-hmm. So I have a random question. I'm going to be all over the board with you. Trust me, you have no idea. I've been studying so much. And like, I'm 37 years old. You're 19. I just think that's just so crazy, you know? And I can barely use my own cell phone. So, but whenever I'm like looking online, I'm like, okay, what do I do as an older guy? Okay, 37 years old. I know I can watch videos on YouTube. I can, you know, study everything. But how do I edit videos? What's the app should I start with? How would I meet a community that could help me do that? Like, what would be your advice?
You got to leverage your skills, know what your strengths and weaknesses are. Mm-hmm. If you're not good at editing, you just have to focus really on mastering the script or just being able to provide amazing value live, just like how we're doing right now. Mm-hmm. If you don't know how to edit, this is an amazing format. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to know your strengths and weaknesses and create a format around that.
Okay. And how important is it to collaborate with other influencers and people? I asked you earlier about podcasts. You say you try and do as many as you can. How important is that collaboration?
Oh my goodness. It's super important. Everyone has different audiences and you can leverage their audience as well.
Yeah. And what kind of opportunities have come to you from being a public figure and being really big on YouTube?
Any opportunity. I mean, I got the chance to work with big companies like P&G, Nickelodeon. I did marketing for the Olympics. Wow. They sent me out there. They paid for everything. All I had to do was vlog my experience and post it on my channel. Like, it's amazing the opportunities you get.
And so how does your family feel about you getting paid to go to, like, vlog your experience at the Olympics? Like, how did I bet they're so proud.
Oh, yeah. It was very exciting. And my mom got to go to Paris as well. So,
and she has her own YouTube channel too, right?
Yeah, she does. She has over 1 million subscribers in just 1 year of my coaching.
So starting her from zero, what were the first steps that you took to help her grow?
So the first thing I did, and it was very intentional, was creating her personal brand. You know, we thought long and hard about what her YouTube channel name was going to be and who she was going to speak to and what she was going to do. Mm-hmm. And because people know me as a cheapskate, and that's kind of what I'm known for in my content.
A cheapskate?
Yeah, that's kind of what I do. I'm like, yeah. I've done, like, for example, I made videos where I'm Mr. Beast on a budget. So, like, that's what I'm known for. So when I started her channel, her name is The Saving Lady. Mm-hmm. So that's her thing. And then her first few videos, she got so many views because she did videos on couponing. She did videos where, for example, I would give her cheap gifts in my videos and she would do follow-ups. Oh, I'm going to get her back and give her another cheap gift. And we started her channel by building her personal brand and character.
Oh, and then you collaborated between each
exactly.
other.
Exactly.
That's amazing. Yeah. And your mom is pretty outgoing. I saw some of the stuff. It's really good.
Yeah, she is I think that's very important as well.
Yeah. One thing that I thought was pretty interesting, because we're very picky with who we actually associate with, to be honest. And I assume you have to be that way too, is when I was seeing some of your videos, number one, I could tell you're very nerdy and passionate.
Yes. Okay.
But number two, you involved your family.
Yeah.
So a lot of YouTubers don't do that. How important it is for you to be able to put your family and kind of enjoy the social media life with them?
Oh, it's super important. Well, for one, your family is the only people that you can really fully trust. Mm-hmm. So it's super important that they're the number one team members, mm-hmm. right? But I also love having them in my content, because even thinking back to my avatar, this is why it's so important, is my avatar are very young kids who may not appreciate their family as much, but they spend every day with them. They, mm-hmm. you know, they live with their parents, siblings. And I think it's a very relatable, and it's the aspirational life that they want with their family.
Yeah. So I have another question. So how do you stay relevant and everything? Or are you just trying to do something completely off the wall that no one else is doing? Or do you kind of get your idea? Like, how do you get your ideas?
Yeah, so I get my ideas through already proven concepts, whether that's from other creators, it's from movies, it's from shows, books, or even just looking in my natural day-to-day life, what are common proven things that people, they're like proven concepts. For example, that isn't even online, everyone needs water. That's like a relatable human concept. Everyone needs to eat. Everyone wants to save money. So I think you can get ideas anywhere if you just keep your mind open to it.
So it's very niche-based, stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah, you can get ideas anywhere.
Mm-hmm. So that was actually a really good question. I noticed that you have a pretty good mix between shorts and long form. Is it important to use both?
I think it depends on your strategy.
Mm-hmm.
I think short form is a great way to get an insane amount of reach. And then long form is a great way to foster that community.
Okay. So whenever you say foster, elaborate a little bit more on that.
Yeah. So you can bring in a ton of views and subscribers on shorts, but to get them to fall in love with you or to buy products or to really be a true fan, they need to spend a lot of time with you. You know, in shorts, in 30 seconds, someone may not fall in love with you, but they can in a 10, 20 minute video.
Okay. So if you're coaching me in a sense, so I'm a real estate person. Okay. I do have a real estate hedge fund, but I also like people to be able to bring me deals, sell me deals. And I believe that everyone should have a win-win. If I was going to do long form, I would assume that would help them be able to gain trust in me.
Yes.
What type of videos do you think I would do? Should I do vlog style, or is it best to do the talk to the camera style, or do some type of challenge? What would you recommend?
I would recommend a very similar strategy to, honestly, like someone like Alex Hormozi. Where in his shorts, it's like scripted straight to the point. advice. But then on the long forms, they're like an hour long. They're not even edited. It's just him giving just insane amounts of value. The goal is to give so much value that people are asking you to sell them a service. You're not even selling to them. They're asking you to give them the service. Mm. Just give as much value as possible. Literally exactly how we're doing right now.
Mm-hmm. And then as far as like someone like Mr. Beast, because that's a completely different thing. Like you said, yours is on a budget. He's given millions. Have you met Mr. Beast in them yet?
A couple of times.
Yeah. How are they in person?
They don't have much time to talk, but it's like, hi, goodbye.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's pretty cool. So who's one of your like favorite YouTubers? Like name your top three. Or is that tough, I guess?
I mean, of course it's tough. I mean, I'm on a different side of YouTube. I love Alex Ramosi. Great insights. Dan Martell. He's amazing for business stuff too. Yeah. And I love Ryan Trahan for entertainment.
Honestly, you're an entrepreneur. The more I hear you do, content stuff, but you're an entrepreneur. What other businesses definitely intrigue you? I know that's outside of just YouTube. What businesses intrigue you the most?
Yeah. So I do coaching to help other creators go viral as well.
Okay, so you enjoy the coaching part. So that's the Alex Ramosi part.
Yeah, that's where, exactly. Yeah. That's where that comes in.
Yeah. So do you go to conferences pretty often or do you just learn online? Or
I would say I go to a couple of conferences. So I go to Vid Summit and VidCon and then whichever come up that seem good.
Okay. I mean, do you go to any other like business conference? Like, I don't know. Are you into crypto or
I'm anything? Not. I'm not into crypto.
No, me neither. Okay. All right. So taking a side thing from YouTube, I know you said that you do other platforms too. What do you think would be the best opportunities this next year in other platforms as well? Or do you think YouTube is like the main thing? Like, can you categorize like YouTube, Instagram, TikTok? Like, say, hey, this is what I think this is best for. Like YouTube may be good for connecting. Instagram is best for, I don't know, credibility. TikTok is best. I don't know. Like, how would you categorize each platform?
Yeah, so TikTok is the easiest platform to go viral. I would say if you want to, you know, not have an unedited video and not think that much, you just want to recreate a trend and get views, TikTok is the platform. That's why a lot of creators, their first video, they get so many views. They get hundreds of thousands of views in their first video, but then they don't get many views after that. They don't know how to keep up the momentum. TikTok's great for making anyone go viral. Instagram is good for social connections and fostering community and building trust. Mm-hmm. Their platform is intentional about creating friends and community, and they strive on shares, comments, building friendships and relationships is definitely Instagram. Mm-hmm. And then YouTube is the king of entertainment. That is like the new TV.
Oh, 100%. And I saw that Mr. Beast is doing some kind of game show now on Amazon.
Yeah, it's crazy.
What do you see yourself in 5 years from now? Where would you like to see yourself in 5 years with just YouTube specifically?
Wow. I mean, in just 5 years, I would hope to have a CPG product that I'm able to scale to. I mean, in 5 years, if I'm able to get that to $100 million in 5 years, that would be impressive. But that's like my long-term goal. And then I leverage my name and likeness and my following to do that.
Oh, that's crazy. So what kind of videos do you see yourselves doing in the future? Do you see yourselves doing the same type of video? Are you going to kind of pivot? Or do you feel like it's best to just always stay consistent?
I think it's important to stay consistent while always getting better. So I want my audience to grow with me. I would imagine I have the same audience, but I age up with them. So
I like that.
Right now I'm going to lean in more into that cheapskate thing. I want to actually focus on you could still have fun on a budget type of content, because I think that's super relatable to many people. And I think it's relatable to many age groups. And throughout the years, I'll have the storytelling a little bit simpler and for kids. And as they age up, you know, they go to high school, they go to college, you know, the type of ways to have fun on a budget are going to change as they grow old. So that's what I would imagine.
Okay, I have a question. Do you get recognized pretty often here? I know you're in Florida here. So how often do you get recognized?
It depends on where I am. Mm-hmm. If I am at the casino, like we were just at the, well, I, we were not gambling. I know what I mean. No.
We're at the hotel.
Yes.
The
okay.
Hotel. Okay.
Over there, no one's going to recognize me. Yeah. At the casino. But
you go like to Aventura Mall.
But if I go, for example, if I go to an arcade, every single kid, if they are in, if they're in the age range of 8 to 12, one in every three is going to recognize me.
Wow. So that's your biggest age range between 8 and 12?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
How does that make you feel when you have a little kid? Oh, it's JD.
Oh, I love it. I think it's fun. It's cool.
Oh, man, that's awesome, actually. So whenever, how does it feel to know that you've inspired? Okay. You said you started at 8, you said?
Yeah.
Doing it. How does it make you feel to know that you have probably planted a seed in a lot of other 8 and 12-year-old kids that may become the next future Mr. Beast and Miss Jenny Hoyos?
I think that's cool. I mean, yeah. Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah. Have you had any weird experiences from people?
Yeah, I guess a couple. No, the weirdest thing was someone, you know, there's people that show up to where you live, but that's expected.
Comes with the game.
Yeah, it comes with
goodness.
It.
Well, at least you have your mom and dad. They're pretty good bodyguards and they're really sweet people.
Yeah, exactly.
So I know that you have a brother. So is your brother into content creation as well?
He likes to help, but he's mainly an engineer. He thinks different.
Thanks. So what kind of engineer is he?
Industrial engineering.
Oh, you're an entire smart family.
So like logistics.
You're a smart family.
Oh, thank you.
That's amazing. So I know that you did, and this is how I met you. You did a 21-day challenge. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So for the past month, I've been helping creators go viral in just 21 days. Mm-hmm. And it has gone insanely well. A lot of creators have had insane transformations and asked me to continue coaching them beyond the 21 days. So that's why I'm actually going to be running a coaching program ongoing forever. It's just going to keep going forever. I'll be group coaching for an annual plan at $1,000, basically.
$1,000?
Yeah,
that's
it's
a
really good
deal.
It's a really good deal.
And how many people do you, are like, I know you had a ton of people come into the 21-day challenge. How many people joined that?
500 people joined the 21-day group coaching. So imagine when I'm 365, 24/7 group coaching.
Yeah, so how important do you think a good community of that is put together?
Super important. The community is everything. People come for the program and they stay for the community.
Yeah. Also another thing. So we started a real estate community, and not only would we be there to kind of coach and help each other, but we can collab or partner. So do you feel like some of the people in the chats, because I'm part of the community too, and I see them all chatting. There's some guys in there chatting.
Yeah. And then they can all collab together, give ideas, give each other feedback.
And they
it's
can
amazing.
All grow together. Pretty cool, isn't it? Do you see yourself ever going and speaking at conferences? I know you said that you did one recently. Which one was that?
That was TED Next. It was a TED event.
How was that?
Oh my goodness. It was amazing giving a TED talk. It was a TED talk on how to tell a story in 60 seconds. And they gave me a 5-minute time limit.
They gave me 5 minutes
to prove the point that you can tell a story in 60 seconds. But yeah, all the conferences I go to, the reason why I say I go to conferences often, every single one I go to is only if I'm a speaker, basically.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So how often do you do those? Do you do them every month?
Maybe every 3 months, every 3 to 6 months.
Okay. Do you see yourself going into, I don't know, other areas like movies or anything? Or do you like just content creation? You're like, I don't want to be an actress. I don't want to be a model. I don't want to.
Yeah, I want to do all forms of comedy entertainment. So I would love to do a show or a movie.
I think that'd be great. What kind of show or movie would you do other than just come like, is there anything specific?
I mean, I love comedy.
Just comedy? You know?
Yeah, I mean, I love Adam Sandler movies. Probably something stupid like that.
That'd be actually really cool. What's one of your favorite Adam Sandler movies?
I mean, all of them are good. Billy Madison, I think, is a really good one.
I like Billy Madison. I like 50 First Dates.
Yeah, that one's good, too.
That one's good.
Yeah.
Or Happy Gilmore. That's kind of one of the old classic ones.
Oh, yeah, it's a classic.
Yeah. So, all right. Now, outside of all content creation, because I've been talking to your family, they talked about how busy you are. What do you like to do for fun outside of just work? Do you have any weird, nerdy hobbies?
I like to cook.
I didn't know that.
That's the only thing I do for fun, because you have to eat.
So what do you like to cook?
Very healthy meals. So I'm trying to live as long as possible. I'm always measuring all my biometrics and getting a bunch of blood works done. Everything is like very specific. I eat everything at a specific time. Everything's measured, track all the calories. Everything's very specific. So I'm upset. Actually, that's now that you mention it, I think that's more. Well, that's definitely more of it. Health is my favorite passion, and then followed by cooking.
Oh, that's amazing. I have to be honest with you. You're 19. The way you speak and everything you're doing is impressive.
Oh, thank you.
Like, I don't see many 19-year-olds. I'm tracking my health, and I've got business goals, $100 million. How did, what are some, so when I was a kid, I was 5 years old. I was trying to sell candy to people. We cut grass. What are some things that you started off doing when you was a kid trying to make money or doing business?
Yeah, so I helped my parents a lot, or I tried to help, because they're entrepreneurs as well. They had a bunch of different businesses, probably so many that I probably couldn't even name. I think they started with like Amazon FBA. Mm-hmm. I think I was introduced to that when I was like 3 years old, and I was already involved with that. Just like, you know, going to the stores and buying a bunch of products and reselling it on Amazon, or they fulfill it.
Did y'all film any of the content?
No, I mean, this is a long time ago.
Oh, really?
This is like when YouTube just started. Like, this was like when Amazon started. I was primarily, I would say, honestly, I created content and then just helped my parents on the side with their businesses.
We have a firm right there that does Amazon, Tanner.
Oh.
Okay. So, y'all are a pretty entrepreneur family then.
Oh yeah. I mean, we were born. I was born into my parents being entrepreneurs. Yeah.
So I know that your mom's from Nicaragua and your dad's from Ecuador. And you said you have not gone out of country?
No, before? I think once when I was like a toddler, but that's about it. The only country I've been to is Paris. Or not Paris. Paris isn't a country. France.
You've only been to France?
I've only been to France.
Man, that's amazing. So when are you going to plan to go to Nicaragua and Ecuador?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe for a video.
I think that'd be cool. Do you still do vlogs at all?
I wouldn't necessarily do vlogs. I try to do storytelling-based videos, if that makes sense.
Okay. All right, so before we end, okay, talking about virality. I'm sorry, I was all over the board.
Yes.
You'll see how I am. I am all over the board. Okay, yeah. Talking about virality one more time. Okay, so tell me the top 5 steps. So I have nothing. I'm 0. What should I do today? You said other after I know my avatar, I said, okay, I know what I'm going to go. I know what.
Okay. So after you've understood your personal brand,
my personal brand.
Yeah. So a focus on shorts, I would say number one, focus on shorts. And once you have built a following an audience, then you'll convert into also creating long form content or live streams. That's a form of long form content. That's number one. I would focus on shorts because they maximize reach. Number two, you need to master hooks. You need to be the best at hooks, because if you don't hook the viewer, the rest of your video doesn't even matter. You wasted your time making the rest of the video because they're not even going to see it. Okay. That's how important the hook is. And you do that by immediately disrupting the viewing pattern. When someone's watching on shorts, your thing needs to just be crazy. It just needs to shock the viewer. But that's why it's important to know your avatar, because if you know them, then you know what will shock your viewer and stop their viewing pattern. Disrupt the pattern while they're scrolling. Number two, it's important to get them to watch until the end. And you do that by having constant progression. Everything that you say has to slowly get you to the answer. There can be zero fluff, nothing that takes us back. Everything has to slowly get us closer to the answer. And then I think I'm on number four, concise ending. You know, you're going to, usually your hook is a question and you slowly give puzzle pieces to the answer. The ending should be the answer and it immediately ends. If, for example, the video is, what's 10 minus 5? The last word in the video is 5 and the video ends. That should be the very last word. And then the fifth most important thing from there is rewatchability. Because YouTube or shorts in general, shorts are so short that they will only really go viral if people watch it again. People want viewers to be on the platform, or YouTube or any platform wants viewers to be on the platform as long as possible. So if they not only watch your video, but are rewatching it, that's a great signal to the platform that the viewers are going to stay longer. And to increase the rewatchability, there are different things you can do. Typically it's Easter eggs, or if you're giving an in-depth tutorial, typically that will cause rewatchability. Twists at the end cause people to want to rewatch the video to see if there were hints throughout the video, if you would have caught that twist.
That's a great idea. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's actually a really smart idea, actually doing the twist. So is you kind of want them to loop back through and rewatch it again.
Yeah.
What do you think about inorganic? Like, do you do any ads before? Or is it mainly with the 21-day challenge that you did the ads? Or
I only do ads for things that I'm selling. I wouldn't run ads on just like videos that are meant to be organic.
Okay. And what's the difference between doing videos for someone personal branding and then a business selling, like, I don't know, a service? Let's just say there's a guy that... We have some buddies, they do landscaping. What would be your recommendation for the landscaping guys?
I would say it would be very similar to those who all have a personal brand, because people don't follow or trust companies. They trust people and they follow people.
No, that's great. So tell everyone where they can find you online.
Yes. So my channel is Jenny Hoyos. Mm-hmm. And if you want to work with me, you can go to jennyhoyos.com. I would love to see you join my group coaching program year round at $1,000 a year. It's such a good deal. Like, I know it's an amazing deal. I'm probably going to increase the price because that's too good.
I think she has to. She's going to increase it eventually.
Yeah, I think soon, very soon, maybe in a month or so.
Yeah. Well, Jenny, thank you so much for being on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you so much.